Well, good morning out there in radio land. What a day, what a glorious day it is to be alive in the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is the day that the Lord has made, and this is a day that we will rejoice and be glad in it. My God is a faithful God. He's a holy God. He is worthy, wonderful, magnificent, and great in all of his ways. Welcome in on this May 20th, 2026. This is Wednesday morning, and Miss Hannah's got some things going on today, and then Brother Jacob said he had to work, so I took a shot, took a long shot, and I said, Josh Milburn.
That's right.
The one and only legendary homecoming preaching machine, one and faithful.
Yeah.
Pastor Milburn, how are you?
You was like one shot wonder because that's the last, first and the last one I've done so far.
Oh, homecoming. If we ever had a homecoming, I'd let you preach ours.
No, it's good to be here this morning. So thankful you gave me the opportunity to come back on. But like I said, I got to do chapel at about 8 o'clock, so I'll be getting out of here about 8. So, but I thought I'd come with you for the next hour. And we're getting a little bit of rain out there, right?
Oh, I love seeing that
stuff fall
from
the
sky.
We need more of it, though. So
yeah.
It seems like a lot of people around us, below us, above us, you know, been getting quite a bit. But we've been missing out on all of it. So.
I just want to see water in the river. I know it's not going to be all the way where it was.
Right.
But
yeah,
it's like I was talking to somebody the other day, and it's like you're almost looking at a grazing pasture out in the middle of what's supposed to be the river now.
Yeah.
It's just grass everywhere. So.
My daughter's son-in-law, they went camping a couple weeks ago, and it's just where they was at was completely dried up.
I think
pretty much jump across it. So.
Yeah.
I think I've seen something about 15 feet below.
Yeah, it's – I don't think I've ever seen it this dry.
I don't know.
Last year we were floating away, and this year we're
yep.
We can go and just – you can take your cattle across the river at this point, probably.
So.
Oh, but it is good. Welcome in 91.5 Litchfield Hardinsburg, 98.3 Owensboro, Kentucky, 91.1 Hinesville, Glasgow. Also, welcome into our app listeners. We love our app listeners. If you don't have our app and you want it, Box 2 Network, you search that on Tithely Church app. So go to your app store, download Tithely Church app, and then search Box 2 Network to engage with this morning's broadcast. You can text me at 270-230-6337. Again, that's 270-230-6337. A lot of great announcements on that app you can get to. We've got a full morning ahead of us. And the other voice you heard in the house was Mr. Tim Milburn's in there, too, with us. It's the father-son duo.
That's right.
With me this morning.
Amen.
Miss Denisa Hill said it is so good to hear Pastor Josh with you this morning.
Well, thank you very much. No, it's good to be here. So I'm excited for what's going on. But I know yesterday was a big day here, not only our county, but our state, you know, nationwide with Election Day. So, you know, some different things happened. So, but still yet, we still got to keep praying, keep trying to move forward.
Yeah. Here locally, Mr. Bevin won judge executive.
Yep.
Brother Billy Richardson will stay the sheriff.
Right.
And then, of course, I think Buck Meredith won the sheriff race in Grayson by a pretty good amount.
So pretty good.
Pretty good amount.
Yep.
And so, and I know that Massey lost his.
Yeah, sure did.
He lost his.
Yep.
Looks like Andy Barr will be the representative. Beat Daniel Cameron, was his major competitor there.
Yep.
So it was a lot of big races.
Yeah.
And I know, Mr. Tim, I know you were upset. You fell a little short, but
I ain't really upset. You know, I've been through this before, but I'm just thankful for everybody who got out and voted and supported me. But we still, the challenge is still there. We still be praying for our elected officials and the God given wisdom decision to make for our county.
Yeah,
and even in our state and United States of America too, but I come up a little short, but that's all right.
Yeah,
that's part of it.
Yeah.
Last night when I was with him, Brother Aaron, you know, of course I love to brag on my dad, of course, you know, but I thought it was very commendable of him to he called Brandon Henning and said, "Listen, you know, I'm still support you, still gonna pray for you, still gonna be here for you." So, you know, expressed some of his concerns for the county to Brandon as right here where we're at right now as our magistrate, you know, but still yet, no, we got to work together through all, everything.
I didn't know until we interviewed Brandon that he said 70% of the property tax for the Breckenridge County comes from the 6th District.
Right.
Wow.
I didn't know that, and that's that's a major. Because I guess you got all the lake houses.
Lake, right.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well. Yep.
So, but he said 70% roughly.
That's a pretty big number. Pretty big number. Of course, you know, he will be facing an opponent, you know, in the fall, which is Pat Young, and then of course, we had a new judge, but then also we're going to look like going to have a new 5th District magistrate because Brett Mangus, the Republican there, he beat out Sam Moore, and he'll be going up against in the fall against Sarah Bittner. Then, of course, David Albright will be going against Chance Peterson. 3rd District, Gary Greenwell, unopposed. 2nd District, John Henning will be going against Haley Rhodes. And, of course, 1st District, Jeremy Armstrong won again last night, and he'll be unopposed in the fall also. Mm-hmm. So just a few local races that we're trying to keep up with. You know, there for the longest time, brother, when I prayed, you know, even a few years ago, I changed, you know, I just talked about our elected officials, but it seemed like I homed in more on our local officials than I ever had before, you know, because I do feel as if our local officials, actually, where we're at right now, you know, we're in the country, our local officials a lot of times, you know, affect us more.
Absolutely.
So than the,
I've said the same thing. I believe that.
Of it, so.
Yeah, just as important it is to vote for national levels, it's very important to vote on the local level.
Yeah.
Just because they probably do affect your day-to-day way more than national would.
Right. And so I did see, of course, I meant to look at it this morning, but I don't know how much. Dad, do you know how much of Brett County voted yesterday?
I don't know the percentage. No, I didn't hear it.
But I think I heard Grayson County, Brother Aaron, kind of. It's good, I guess. They said it was okay, but still yet it's sad that only 31% of registered voters voted in Grayson County.
Yeah.
31%.
And sometimes I'm curious on the stats there. Is that 31% of Republican registered voters? Because I think a lot of times in our smaller counties, there's just not a lot of Democratic.
Right. I understand that.
And so, like, they don't come out to vote, the Democrats in the prime. I wonder if that plays into that.
I don't know.
I was trying to think through that, like, why. I mean, I get it. Sometimes people just get busy and slips away, and they're like, oh, my gosh, I didn't vote today. Like, I do get that. But the primaries always being so low, I would like to see the statistics, like, is that 31% of the Republican primary people, registered voters voting, or is that 31% of total? Because, I mean, in all honesty, I'm not trying.
No, I know what you mean.
There just wasn't many Democrats running this primary.
Wasn't.
Like, they had an opportunity to vote.
I heard that I just said the magistrates, those Democratic magistrates that's going to be running, they didn't have nobody to. They didn't. So why would you go out and do that?
It has to be overall because Democrats and Republicans are voting in a primary.
Yeah.
In Breckenridge County yesterday, 5,300 voters took part in the primary. That was roughly turnout of just over 34%.
Okay. So,
we beat
Grayson just barely a little bit percentage wise anyway.
One of the races that if you hear the numbers, I think he won by almost 2,000 votes, but if you hear the numbers, it doesn't sound like that. But Josh Calloway and Julia Cantwell, I think she got a few thousand more votes. I'm going to couple 2,000 to 3,000 more votes this time. Now, Josh did too.
Yeah.
So, the numbers back in the last race was, I think it was like 2,500 to like 700 something votes.
Yeah,
and this time it was closer to 5,000 to 2,500. So, the numbers really went up in that voting race there in the surrounding counties and in our county. So, of course, Josh Calloway did pull that out. He will be contested, I think, right?
Yeah, Whipple.
Yeah.
John Whipple.
John Whipple. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Same. Is it the same race as last time? I think
so. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Because Josh got 2,500 votes, and she got 1,622.
Okay. So I got some wrong numbers last night. I know that they said one of their numbers was wrong at one time.
Right, they did. Yeah.
And so I didn't get to I wasn't able to keep up live with everything because I was coaching Little League, and we were down – let's see, going in the last inning, we were down – 5 runs or 4 runs.
Yeah.
And we rallied back and then tied it.
Really?
And then we lost an extra.
Oh, man.
We lost an extra inning. But one of the kids for other team, anytime in 10 to 12 league they hit a home run, it's just so exciting for everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, he almost put it up by the flagpoles. It was one of the – I mean, this kid can hit.
Wow.
And so I told him after the game, I said, one day when I grow up, I want to hit like you. He just had a big old smile on his face. But
I bet.
But I didn't get a lot of results and wasn't right. able to keep up until after we were off that field because game's supposed to be over 7. I don't think we ended at like 7:30 or 7:40 because of the extra innings. But weather today is going to be absolutely stunningly beautiful. A lot of rain, a lot of sun. Actually, it's going to be a high of 72 and a low of 58 with rain showers throughout the day.
Good.
Which I think we can use, fill up the lake, Lord, fill up the lake. Let it rain physically and spiritually in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Verse of the day, Colossians 3:12-13. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Again, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Quote of the day today is a quote by Jonathan Edwards. The true spirit of prayer is no other than God's own spirit dwelling in the hearts of the saints. And as this spirit comes from God, so doeth it naturally tend to God in holy breathings and pantings. It naturally leads to God to converse with him by prayer. I love that verse. I love that second. And as this spirit, being the spirit of God, comes from God, so doeth him naturally tend to God in holy breathings and pantings. The spirit of God will cry unto the Father. I love that. Love that. Just what it's, I love what it's portraying there. Guest today, Brother Dwayne, Pastor Dwayne Kidd is going to call in at 8:30 this morning.
That's amazing.
And so got Pastor Josh at 7 to 8, got Pastor Dwayne at 8:30 to 9. They got me from 8 to 8:30, so everybody's gonna tune out there and like, we are enough of this guy.
Yeah, right. They love your insight, buddy. Love your insight.
Bible study tonight, this morning, we're gonna getting into Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 9-13. I haven't really talked to Miss Hannah about this one, but I'm making an executive decision she'll just have to follow. We should probably be finishing Zephaniah by the end of next week, and I think I know the next two books we're going to go into.
Oh,
we like to flip flop between Old Testament, New. So we do an Old, and then we do a New. Oh, New. So next book we're going to study in the New Testament is going to be 1 Timothy. I think it's just I've really, really loved that and give a lot of insight into just. There is a lot about church leadership,
right?
But there's also a lot of practicality in the church, like how does the church operate, some duties of the church. It deals with widows and how we operate there, and really been studying into that quite a bit with benevolence, and but also don't just give a person a fish, they'll eat a night. If you teach them to fish, they'll eat a lifetime. And I think even 1 Timothy speaks into that a little bit. So I've been studying a little bit into that. So, and then after that, I just feel like 1 Samuel's coming. I love 1 Samuel.
I got you.
1 Samuel, and I don't know if we'll do 1 and Samuel back-to-back. That's a lot of chapters.
That's quite a bit. But anyway.
Hey, who knows? But
if you're going to be here every day anyway, might as well do whatever.
1 Samuel, so I don't know. I don't know if they've left yet for the funeral, but if they've not, Hannah, and you're listening. 1 Timothy, and then 1 Samuel. You're hearing it just like everybody else. Executive decision.
That's right. He just waited for you to be gone, Hannah, so he could go ahead and do that, all right?
Yeah, yeah. All right, Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 9. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 9 is where we're going to find ourselves this morning. And I do think it's – actually, let's do this real fast. Because we did talk about the election results last night. And you can find a lot of insight on that. But all those that are already have their office decided, and those who are going to continue to run, will you just pray for them, Josh?
Well, I would love to.
That's a biblical commission of ours to do. I just feel like before we step into Zephaniah, let's pray for them.
Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you right now, Lord Jesus, and we just thank you again, Lord Jesus, for this day. Lord, as we here locally and also nationally, Lord God, had election day yesterday, Lord. Lord, as those that got out and, they used their right to vote that they have. Lord, but we know, Lord God, that numbers, Lord Jesus, that have put people in position. Lord, I pray now, Lord Jesus, continue to pray over our elected officials. Lord, I pray it now, God, that right now, even the new ones that's going to step into new offices, Lord, that you begin to prepare their mind in the next several months, Lord Jesus, as they take the office, Lord God. Maybe they thought they was going to do one thing, Lord God, but if it's not your will for it not to be done, I pray it now, God, that they would do exactly what you would allow them to do. I pray it now, God, that we as Christians would be a stronger voice in our community. I pray now that we'd be people that would pray over our officials as well. Lord, I know it's very important, Lord God, for us as a church, Lord God, to rise up, Lord God, and to speak, Lord Jesus, what we believe in, and what we believe in is you. And I pray it now, Lord God, over safety over all them, even those, Lord God, that lost, Lord God. I pray it now, Lord Jesus, that a humbleness of heart will be upon them, and that they'll finish their course, Lord God, in the next several months, and they'll continue to lead, Lord God. They'll continue to gain the respect of those around us right now, Lord God, because of what they're going to do. They're going to finish their race until the very end of their elected term. Lord, we thank you for this day. We pray your blessings upon the remainder of this broadcast, Lord, the remainder of this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Yep.
All right. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 9. Miss Elizabeth Higdon says, good to hear Josh as well.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
A lot of people, they're happy to hear you, Josh. Well, anyway. Nobody has said they're happy to see you, but they have. Right. A lot of us said they're happy to hear you. No, I'm just
at 8 o'clock when I see the kids, they're not going to be happy to see me.
Yeah,
either, but hopefully they'll be happy. No.
Verse 9. For at that time I will change the speech of the peoples to pure speech, that all of them may call upon the name of the Lord and serve him with one accord. From beyond the rivers of Cush, my worshippers, the daughter of my dispersed ones, shall bring my offering. On that day you shall not be put to shame because of the deeds by which you have rebelled against me. For then I will remove from your midst your proudly exalted ones, and you shall no longer be haughty in my holy mountain. But I will leave you in your midst a people humble and lowly. They shall seek refuge in the name of the Lord. Those who are left in Israel, they shall do injustice. They shall do no injustice and speak no lies, nor shall there be found in their mouth a deceitful tongue, for they shall gaze and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. So what Zephaniah is talking about here is there's coming a day when there is judgment.
Right.
There's coming a judgment. Now, what he's saying here is not like if you, my Bible app here has conversion of the nations on it. This does not mean that everybody is saved. All right. This is not what Zephaniah is prophesying, because even down there, he's basically saying, I will leave you in your midst a people humble and lowly. He's saying, I'm leaving it in your midst. Like, the Lord's going to take some people out, but he's going to leave some people in. This is the remnant that's going to stay. And there's a remnant that's going to, he's going to eliminate all, he's going to change the speech of the people. There's going to be a new language. Like, I really do speculate that I don't know even if we'll speak Hebrew or Greek in heaven. Like, I don't know.
Right.
I don't think we speak English.
Yeah.
I don't think we have many different, because the confusion of tongues was a result of the Tower of Babel and rebellion to God.
Yeah.
And I don't think we'll have any confusion of tongue in heaven. I think we'll have one unified language. Now, if that's everybody speaking in like a prayer language or tongues, I don't even think that if we do have that, then I think there's going to be this ability. I don't even think we have to learn the language. I think there's a supernatural ability. And here he's talking about, I'm going to change the speech of the people to a pure speech. There's purity coming to the land. There's a unifying pure speech among the people that's going to come. Because down at the bottom, he's saying, you know, they shall do no injustice. They shall speak no lie. There will be found in their mouth. There shall not be found in their mouth a deceitful tongue. They shall graze and lie down, and none of them should be made afraid. Basically saying it's going to be shalom. It's going to be peace. There's no iniquity. There's no sin. There's no lying. There's no deceitfulness. There's no manipulation. There's no going to sickness. There's no lack, because he's going to just be able to graze and lie within there. There's a providence of the Lord right there.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is like Zephaniah prophesying to us, one day evil is going to have an end. Righteousness reigns supreme. The righteousness will be exalted, and the wicked will be judged.
Yeah. I believe it's very vital for us to look in the Old Testament, and when it's talking about the Lord's people, you know, it's telling them the result of their sin, a result of them doing something that they should not do. I go back to, actually, when we talk about the Lord, people here, I spoke in Hosea the other day and talked about how God said, I knew you in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever position they're in, see, the thing about it is God knows you. But whatever position you're in, just like the Israelites here and his people, but do you know God? You see, whatever it is. So, I mean, I think it's very vital for us to talk about how even he talked about the remnant of Israel. They shall what? They shall not do iniquity. Yeah. So you tell you're of the Lord, you're one of his remnant, you're one of his people. Well, you're not going to partake of the things of iniquity and sin, whether it be here in the Old Testament, whether it be in the New. Whether the Lord come, he come and he bled on, he died on the cross for my sins, you know, it's all forgiven. But still yet, you're not going to partake of the iniquity of this world if you really have a true and a great relationship with him. Why? Because you know that he's not going to leave you, and no matter what situation you're in, he's not going to cast you away. He's always with you in the wilderness. He's with you in your trial. He's with you on the mountaintop. He's with you in the valley, and he's always reminding his people, if you keep your eyes and your focus on me, I'm always going to be with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is Zephaniah telling us that God's people, well, for one, I think Zephaniah is telling us that in this day of judgment,
yeah,
there's going to be also be revival. He's going to be bringing in the remnant. He's gathering them in, and that's what verse 10 is telling us. From the river of Cush, all my worshipers, the daughters of my dispersed ones, the ones that have been dispersed, the ones that have been spread out, shall bring my offering. They're coming back to bring my offering. They're coming back to me. They're coming home. And really, you know, you see where they're going to be blessed. Like, because that's what 13 is always at the very end of that little section, that for they shall graze and lie down and none shall be made afraid. There's a prosperity that's going to come to them. There's a providence. It's a beautiful picture. Like,
yeah.
But it's not an excuse. And I think that if you read this wrong, when he says, at that time I will change the speech of the peoples to a pure speech, that all of them may call upon the name of the Lord and serve him with one accord, that it's more like, oh, everybody's just going to come in. Like, he's just going to do it. Like, I think there's a remnant of his followers that's coming in. The remnant, which is those who know his voice, those who are his sheep.
Amen.
And that's even paralleling a lot with what Matthew 24 and 25 talks about with the gathering in. Like, there's going to be, if Jesus comes back in the middle of a church service, there will be some people left in the church service.
I totally agree.
Because there's a coming, there's a separation.
Yeah.
There's a separation, and you do have the real and the fake.
Yeah.
And you're going to have those who believe they are real, but they've never received Christ. They've never really fully trusted in Christ. And unfortunately, Amen. There's going to be a lot of people that gets left. I hate to use the word left behind because I don't like the series too much. But
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
that was fully percent. And that's Matthew 7, very equivalent to that. Like, worker of iniquity, I never knew you.
Yeah. You know, we think about that. But, I mean, also just the many people that we would think would be there may not end up being there.
Mm.
You know, but whether we remember that or not, when the Lord gives us a resurrected body, when the Lord gives us a new body, whether we're going to be able to remember that or not, I mean, I don't know if I would want to or not want to, but what I'm saying is, at the end of the day, I just want to be there.
Yeah.
You know, and also, you think about the remnant, think about the people, the church being left, and I don't know why, I guess we just come out of election day, I was thinking about this, we said 31-34% respectively voted.
Uh-huh.
100% could have voted. For whatever reason. Well, I was out of town. Well, you knew election day was coming 6 months ago. I used to vote absentee because I wouldn't get home a lot of times till 5:30. And so my dad said, listen, you better make sure you vote because vote absentee. If you know, what if a traffic happens? What if you get behind a wreck? What if you're in a wreck or something? Make sure your vote counts. So it reminds me about how, all right, so if 100% could have voted and only 30-34% voted, that means, okay, convert that to natural spirit. You say, well, that's crazy. Is it? Think that within the church, it said, you know, the righteous are scarcely going to be saved. So therefore, I think it's very, that's why I believe that it's so important for you, Brother Aaron, and myself, and pastors, and preachers, and evangelists, and all those, to continue to preach on sin. Because we don't know a lot of times. I feel like the Lord gives us discernment. But a lot of times also, You know, we don't know what people face throughout a week. We don't know exactly what people does because in front of us that they can make it look real good. And that's what happened. The people was trying to make it look real good in front of the prophet. They were trying to make it look real good in front of this one or that one. But the Lord began to tell the prophet, or tell Zephaniah here, tell the even all the other ones, Ezekiel, Daniel, all those, about what was going on at that time and about what they need to speak and what they need to say. So in the last days that we live in, I believe that he's going to use people of God, whether, and it ain't even got to be a pastor or preacher or things, just a sold out child of the king. He's going to use people like that to expose the junk and the filth that's going to be going on in the last day movement.
Yeah. If you go all the way back up to chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, that's kind of what Zephaniah is saying. Woe to her who's rebellious and defiled the oppressing city. She listens to no voice. She accepts no correction. She does not trust in the Lord. She does not draw near to God.
Yeah.
I mean, this is basically saying the voice is going out, but they will not listen. You can go all the way back to 1 Samuel. Whenever the people saying, we want a king like all other nations. And Samuel's upset, and the Lord reminds Samuel, remember, Samuel, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me.
Yeah, right.
They're rejecting me. And that's strong words from the Lord.
Yeah.
And then you can go all the way back to Jesus came first to the Jew, and the Jews rejected him.
Yeah.
So over and over, we do see that language. And how do we reject Christ? Sin.
That's good right there. They're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me.
Yeah, and that's
because what happens is, as a pastor, I don't know why, Brother Aaron, probably you got it with a heavy heart also. When you feel as if you're doing what the Lord's called you to do, when you know that you're preaching what the Lord's called you to preach, you know what you're trying to pour out your heart to each and every one, but then the people of the church don't ever respond to pray or respond, well, I don't have to go up there. Yeah, but there's got to be some kind of activity and response to the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that as me, you know, you see people that you feel as if need to be up to the altar praying. Not that they're a great big sinner or nothing, but somebody, just the children of God, for whatever reason, we've got it out of our mind. Well, I'm a child of God. I'm all right. I don't need to go up there. No, that's one of the reasons you need to go up there. You need to pray. But as a pastor, sometimes it hurts not seeing people respond to the Word of God the way that they need to be.
Yeah. So. Amen. Well, tomorrow morning, we're going to we may be able to finish Zephaniah tomorrow morning. We'll definitely finish it Friday.
Yeah.
Basically, the last part's going to be, this is probably one of the greatest insights of what the millennial was going to be like, the millennial reign of Christ. And that's where we're going to start out in verse 14 tomorrow morning here in Zephaniah. I've really enjoyed Zephaniah. It's a short book, but I've enjoyed it quite a bit. Let's do our first trivia question of the morning, do a quick break, and then we're going to come back in here. And I'm just see what's on Pastor Josh's heart.
Can I go somewhere then?
Absolutely. You can go anywhere you want.
All right. Well, let's go to Luke 10:19 when we get back.
All right. Luke 10:19. That's where we'll go. What kind of answer turns away wrath? What kind of answer turns away wrath? We'll be 270-257-2689. We'll be right back here after the break. Miss Brenda Sims, as Pastor Josh reminded us, our faithful bacon friend.
Yep, that's Bacon Brenda right there.
Yeah.
No, it's good to hear from you. She just texted me, so I mean, Brenda, it's good to hear from you. I love the encouragement that you give, so thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Amen. It's funny what people will bond over, right?
Yeah, it's crazy. I will always remember as long as I'm alive. I will always remember that. So
sitting in a room and, hey, your voice sounds familiar.
I'll always remember how, you know, she was, of course, I've heard it from a couple of people, but I always remember her, seeing her down here at Cole's with Brother Mark Stevenson and Brother Stephen, he was a preacher revival there. So I went down there, then I was shaking hands and talking to people. And she said, I know you. I said, oh, yeah. She said, yeah, I know your voice, but now I know your face. I was like, huh. I should have said, well, which one looks better? So, but no, so just to be able to meet her there, it was such a blessing. So I'm thankful for even, you know, the post that she posts on Facebook. I mean, you know, it's just an encouragement, you know, when she posts things on Facebook about, you know, just seeing her with the family and seeing her, you know, how she walks around and enjoys what the beauty of what the Lord's given us. So it's pretty amazing.
I'm not for sure if we've moved to that level of faith. So, Facebook friends?
Well, I believe we are, because, I mean, I know we are, so anyway, but of course some people gets on there. But, I mean, are you on it some now, or are you just not as much?
I'm on it some, but not very much.
You put it away for a while.
I did. I should probably put it away again.
Well, I mean, I tell people, I say, listen, you're going to do things that, but to be honest with you, I don't know if this is probably a good thing. People can say, Lord, he's a pastor. What's he saying that for? But I do like it. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but I do.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't like the junk and the filth. And if it does, you know, really, I don't think it's junk and filth. But I can delete people. I can block people, you know, but stuff that can speak to me, that's what I want to see. Yeah. I love seeing pictures. I love, you know. But I haven't got back to my man on Monday. I told my daughter, I said, listen, you know, Rachel always helped me with that. So I said, you know, so I want to get back to it. But now I need somebody to, of course, I got people that would say, all right, I'll proofread it for you and post it for you and stuff like that. But she would always tell me, she said, now listen, don't you post that without me reading it.
Yeah.
She said, because, you know, I want to make sure it's right.
People's got to do the same thing to mine.
So, but no, it's just crazy, Aaron, how time goes by. You know, just this past weekend, you know, my grandson turned 2 on Saturday. And then on Sunday, it was 2 months since Rachel passed. So it's just, you know, kind of been a hard, you know, hard week. But still yet, I know God's in control, and he still got me to where I'm still going to obey his voice. You know, because I know I text somebody yesterday, because they text me and said, hey, I don't know why, but I'm thinking about you today. I said, appreciate it. But, you know, every day's different. I heard from a pastor friend of mine, Jerry, over in Gratian County, that works at Mid-South, and he texted me out of blue last night.
Yeah.
And he's done that a couple times in the last couple of months, and it's just a blessing to me to just to have people to, you know, pour into you. So it's amazing. So anyway, but so can we go to Luke 10:19?
Yeah.
There was something.
I don't think I gave the answer, though.
Oh, go for it. Yeah.
Let me give the answer,
yes.
Then you go right there.
Yes.
If I could stop hiccuping. What kind of answer turns away wrath? A soft answer.
Yeah.
A Proverbs 15:1.
Amen.
All right, so we're in Luke 10.
Yeah.
19.
It's a very familiar passage, but then I also want to say that the tent meeting with Brother Zachary Capps is still going on. It's going to be going on till Saturday, so 7:00 each night. I was able to make it Monday night. I plan on, if Lord willing, to make it tonight maybe, but not been able to make it as much as I wanted to, like I did last year, but still yet, you know, a lot of stuff going on, but that's all right. But there was something, Brother Aaron, in this verse of scripture, Luke 10:19. Of course, you know, it talks about how it says, behold, this is Jesus speaking, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So when I begin to, you know, I'm kind of a guru with my strong, my Greek and my Hebrew and things like that. You know, I love the Bible. Brother Aaron, this is one of the most amazing gifts anybody's given me, is this Bible I have right here, and it was given by you, buddy. So, I mean, I love it. I love this Bible. But that word power there, for people that don't know, if you don't know, you don't know. I know we had somebody new at our church here in the last couple of years, and they said, I never knew about the Greek and Hebrew. Been in church all their life, but never knew about the Greek and the Hebrew. And so it was something that was very, you know, I took it with great honor that we were able to open up scripture a little bit so people can learn more. Because I do believe that there's some people that want to learn more. So the word power here, even though it's said both 2 times here, actually it's used in different contexts. The word power, that first one there, it says, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. All right, that word power there is a word that's exousia, and it's a delegated influence. You see, so actually whether, you know, I asked them there at the church, to be honest with you, it said, who's scared of snakes? I don't like snakes. I mean, every snake I see, to be honest with you, I kill it. They said, what? They said, these snakes or whatever are good for to have around. They kill these rodents. They kill this. But listen, if it's around me, it's not good to be around me. So I'm going to give it the shovel or give it some kind of hoe or something and chop it out of the way. So, but see, but that word power there is a word that means exousia. And what that word power there is a delegated influence, which means actually anybody right now that we're around has a delegated influence. Just like yesterday when we cast it, you know, I think this is why I kind of want to go here, and I appreciate you allow me to do this, Brother Aaron. But I believe one of the reasons, even yesterday, as we had Election Day, you know, that word power, that power there that they're given, it's a delegated influence that they have the power to make, to actually cast their vote and actually to change things. And actually, we put people in office because we stand behind what they, you know, we try to stand behind what they, what they're going to do for the county or what they're going to do for the state or what they're going to do for the United States of America. So I want you to know that word power there. But see, I believe that the church, the remnant we got to talk about earlier in Zephaniah, the remnant there is just actually settled. We have become settled with just having a power that's a delegated influence, an exousia power. But Jesus began to speak there as also, and then he said, and over all the power of the enemy. All right, that word power there is a little bit different. That word power there is 1411 in your Strong's. And what that's a dunamis power. I don't know why, but even as a young kid, I remember Brother Ron. I remember Brother Ron talking about how dunamis, that's where they got the word dynamite, he'd say, you know, because it's a power that's explosive. It's a power that you need. It's a power that whatever. So even though that the power, exousia power, delegating influence, is given to everybody over the serpents and the scorpions, but to you who's a child of God this morning, I want you to understand that he gave you a different kind of power. He gave you a power that's a power that's a dunamis power. And what that power there is, it's a force. Here's what this word power, or a miraculous power. It's a miraculous power in a way of where actually you can take control of every situation by the blood of Jesus and in the power of his name. He's giving you a force. He's giving you, you know, you say, well, I'm just somebody that goes to church. I'm just somebody that just wants to sit there. But no, it's just talking to everybody. He's talking to his people here. He's talking to his children. He's talking, you know, this is actually right when actually he sent them out in earlier in chapter 10. He sent them out two by two. He sent out the 70. But then this is when they returned. But how did they return? They returned with joy. And they even said, you know, verse 17, they even, the devils are subject unto us through how? Through thy name. I'm thankful this morning that we can use the name of Jesus. Why? Because that name there allows us to have power, a dunamis power, that is a force or miraculous power that we can use in this day and this hour. So I just think it's very vital for us to continue to speak to, you know, speak to those people that, Brother Aaron, that seem like that they don't have a set thing to do in the kingdom of God. You know, I want people to be reminded. You know, I haven't said this in a while because I ain't been here in a while. But, you know, just like we used to talk about the toilet bowl blessing, hello. You know, but still yet, that I still know what that is. I still know, you know, that even though, and that works us up. You say, well, what kind of power is that? Well, if you only knew sometime, that's a lot of power you need to get through that right there. But see, but I want you to understand that the word of God, you know, just like it's quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And even though there's a delegated influence out there, even though, but still yet, if you have the miraculous power of God living inside of you, you have more power than the delegated influence. Because the delegated influence can only do everything within their power. But if you have a force, a miraculous power, then you are the one that has the power that God has given you to do the things that you thought that only he could do. Again, be reminded. He told him, he said, unless I go away, the comforter cannot come. And he also told him, it's about how greater things that you can do. Why? Because I go to the Father. And I'm thankful today that he allows us to have the power to become who he is. I'm thankful today that for him allowing me, you know, somebody that I thought they couldn't do this or couldn't do that, but how are you able to get what you get through? Because see, if I'm relying on a delegated influence to get through it, then more than likely that power is going to cease one day. Just like yesterday, you know, there were some people that was voted out. So their delegated influence is going to be done by the end of the year. But see, yet, I just want to have something that's always going to be. And that is the power of God. So that's just, you know, I don't know why I was on that a little bit. I mean, so I just thought that's very important for us as believers and us that are Bible students and us that, you know, and I'm thankful, you know, every time that I get to this and every time I break down some words or break down this or that, I'm always reminded of my pastor, Brother Ron, because back years ago, I remember him always pouring into us and just being there for us and, you know, talking about how there was just so much more. And that's what I want to continue to people. There's just so much more to the Word of God. And I want us to be able to enjoy to the place. And think about it is, if you're not living holy, you're not going to enjoy Him. If you're not living right, you're not going to be able to enjoy it. But still yet, we can be a part of what He's doing right now.
And that dunamis is not just found there. Come to mind Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive what? Dunamis, power.
Right. Amen.
Dynamite Amen. Power. Many After places. That, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You should be witnesses. Witnesses. Like He's going to give you power to be witnesses.
And yeah.
How's that? That you will have the kingdom of God backing you. You're going to be a witness of the kingdom of God.
Right.
You're going to be a witness of the Father. You're going to be a witness of what the gospel does in your heart. You're going to be a witness. People will be able to see you and then see Him.
Right.
Because He's doing a powerful work in you. And you may say, well, what's that look like? Well, I think righteousness looks like that for sure. But you took 12 guys, particularly Peter. Now, just watch what happens immediately.
Yeah.
Peter, just 50 days before, 53 days before, is quivering by this little girl by the campfire and rejecting Christ.
Yeah.
He's terrified. He's running away. He literally will not even proclaim he knows them. But yet 50 days later, he stands before the men of Israel and he says, brothers, looking to the men of Israel, he says, men of Israel, you have killed the Christ. Like, there's no fear in his heart no more. There's no quietness. There's nothing. You know what that power does? It gives you power to speak boldly before those that you used to be terrified in front of. It gives you power to trample underfoot those things which oppress you. Peter never struggled again with denying Jesus. Whenever he was beat, he celebrated. Whenever he was imprisoned, he was fine. You know, it shows you just how much that power, and again, I want to say this, I think the power is there to heal the sick and raise the dead. I think the power is there to see miracles happen, see signs and wonders. But the power is also there to transform you.
Right.
The power is also there to give you strength and encouragement. Yeah. The power is also there to make you bold and courageous. The power is also there to give you trust and faith in the Father. Yeah. Like, the power is not just there for the exuberant gifts of the Spirit. Yeah. It's there for your transformation so that you may become more Christ-like and become a witness. And there, it's both. It's not an either and. It's a both.
Both.
It's a both.
And I mean, that's actually more greater to see the power working in you to be able to get through situations, to be able to get through all those. But why does so many people, they want to see the power? Well, I don't see this happening, but I see somebody that once was something that they're not now. I see the power, how the Lord's transformed people's lives into a place where now they're living for the Lord, where used to you would think that they would have been somebody that never would live for the Lord.
And that's power.
That's power.
Power.
And that's the greatest power, really.
Yeah.
Why? Because at the end of this life, whether we have these trials and things, you know, just like, you know, I go back to even a couple months ago, you know, not thinking that was going to happen when it happened. But still yet, through all this, you know, and I think my daughter talks about it a lot, you know, even in the last couple of years where she really, Rachel didn't feel like doing it, but still yet she had the power of God in her life to be able to still raise her hands and sing and, you know, just do all the things that she had to do to serve her God all the way up until the very end. And I seen the power. You know what I'm saying? I would love to, you know, but still yet I know that it's in the Lord's timing, and I seen the power of God in her life in the last 13 years like never before to be able to look at me and say, hey, you know, it don't matter what happened. We're going to keep our eyes and our attention on Jesus. We got to still go to church. I would tell her time and time again. I would say, you know, you got every right. Hey, you're not feeling good. Just stay. She said, I'm not staying home because I don't want to give nobody else an excuse of why they need to stay home. See, I got to keep doing what I'm doing, and that's what she does. So, and that's what we all need to do. So that's one of the greatest testimonies that I can, that, you know, and that's power right there. That's the miraculous power of God working in somebody's life.
Amen.
So,
amen. He'll give you power. Like, that's just one thing. I feel like that we have missed the mark a little bit when we say power.
Yeah.
We just think of the very,
right,
like healing crusades, the miracles, the signs. Yes, like those things are power by the Holy Spirit, and He'll equip us and He'll give good gifts of healing,
yeah,
and deliverance.
Right.
But I'm thinking like, but it's not just that. Like, He'll give us power to be good spouses. He'll give us power to be good dads and good,
right,
moms. He'll give us power. Pastor Josh, I don't know about you, but I need His dunamos. I need His power to pastor well. I need His power. Like, and His power, like, it's not always the suddenly in Acts 2.
Yeah.
Where the fire falls and the room is shaken. Sometimes it's like, I'm getting ready to go into the hospital room with somebody who has had a traumatic situation happen. Yeah. I need Your power. I, yeah, need Your voice. I need Your words. And I don't think that's any less power than when you cast a demon out of somebody.
Yeah.
It's the power. It's the dude. Why? Because that power, as Acts 1:8 is telling us, is being given to us so that we may be witnesses unto,
right,
all the earth.
Right.
And I love that.
Yeah, because it takes a miraculous power to be a witness, especially in this day and age.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even, you know, when we pray over our children and our, you know, and our grandchildren and school kids and those, we, you know, we want to bless them in a way that they can know that even though they're young, but they can still work in the power of God. Lisa Ashbaugh, she texted in 2 Timothy 3, talking about having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. You know, and it goes on and says, from such turn away. Because listen, if you're not working in the miraculous power, that's why, I don't know if you do, Brother Aaron, I think you do, I think I've heard this before, but like when you ask people to come up for prayer, and when you specifically pray for somebody, you want everybody to gather in,
mm-hmm,
I say this sometimes. I say, listen, it's nothing against nobody, but if you don't believe it can happen, then we don't need to be up here praying for these.
Oh, absolutely. I've said that before.
But if you believe it can happen, then we want you to gather around them and pray, because we know that it can happen. That don't speak nothing against this one, because sometimes our faith is low. Like, I don't know if I need to be up there right now, just because I just don't know. And there's people right now that maybe just don't know why this happened, why that going. But still yet, at the end of the day, if you're going to be praying for somebody, we need to make sure that we believe in what we pray for, and it shall be done.
Yeah. And I just want to, we've been on this verse a little bit this morning, but I just feel like this is to be reminding somebody of what you have said already and what's already been said in this verse. Behold, I give you power, dunamos, to tread on serpents and scorpions. And that's Luke 10:19 for those who may just be joining in or hopping,
yeah,
in a truck or something. And over all the power of the enemy. That phrase strikes me, because we've got to quit with this nonsense that sin is bigger than our God, that we just,
yeah,
can't help it. We're in this, I'm never going to break free from this generational curse. Is my dad's fault.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, he did it, I'm going to do it, I can't break. No.
Right.
What's the Bible telling us here? The dunamos is giving us power over all things the enemy
That's
wants
right.
to do.
Every bit of it.
It's not some, it's saying over all,
yeah,
the power,
right,
of the enemy.
Amen.
There's nothing greater,
yeah,
than God. Greater is He that's in you.
Amen. And it continues to remind us, all the enemy. Well, who's the chief of the enemy? Devil, the Satan, whatever you want to call it, the father, the, you know, darkness, you know, whatever. But it says all the enemy. So He's giving you more power than Him Himself.
Yeah. I was listening to a MacArthur sermon last night when I was working after baseball. I had to go do some work.
Working after hours, right?
Yeah, yeah. And it was from Hebrews 3, and it was so good. But he was talking about, like, there comes a time, and we've said this on here, but the way he said it was really good, that the Lord will just be done with you. Like, I've given you opportunity to repent. You've had the revelation. He was talking about apostasy and what apostasy really,
right,
is. And people don't like that language. But when we continue to surrender the dominion that God's given us, when we continue to reject what He's done in our heart, when we continue to reject His calling, His drawing, Brother Tim said that you all preached the same thing I preached Sunday morning, Sunday night when he was at church.
Really?
Yeah, it was just like I was... Lord willing, I'm going to teach John 17 this Sunday, but last week I was going to do it, but then I just, honestly, I was going to go to Proverbs, and like I was walking to church before service, and I just started thinking, seven things God hates.
Wow.
Man, we do these.
Yeah.
Like, I know that we're actively doing these in this church sometimes. Yeah. Like, not as, like, a church body just practicing it, but I'm like, I know I've done it. I started to repent. Like, I've spread discord among the brethren, and I had to repent. Like, I had to repent. Yeah. Like, yes. I'm just being honest.
Yeah.
Like,
no, I'll be honest.
And so I was reading those, but then I was thinking, and then, like, so the Lord started to shift. I didn't preach the seven things God hates, but I did preach a message of repentance.
Yeah,
and,
well, I actually, a couple of years ago, done a Bible study on the seven things God hates. I took each one each week and done that. But Sunday night, I wasn't necessarily there because I actually had the great honor and privilege to be the main speaker at Oak Ridge Christian Academy
graduation. Yeah.
And their graduation's on Sunday night at 6.
That's cool.
So, Brother Billy, but they said they had an amazing crowd Sunday night, you know, so I'm thankful for that. So I didn't know exactly what avenue he went to.
Well, so. Brother Tim said it's basically pretty much the same message.
That's
so
awesome. That word hate, I want people to understand this too. The word hate is a strong word. I was reminded that I used to work with a gentleman that didn't even know the Lord. And I worked with him, but one thing that he always harped on was the word hate.
Mm-hmm.
He said, hate is so strong. Hate is almost a bad word to me, he said. He said, because it's so strong, but see, so much people's hearts. But that word hate right there, if you look that up in Scripture, look that up in my Strong's, actually all that word hate is an opponent of God.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not doing the things of God, if you're not, that is created, that hate, seven things God hates, that word hate is an opponent. So you're either for him or you're against him. You either love him or you hate him. You either do, because that what we must understand, because there's many opponents of God out there. There's many people that opposes doing the right thing. And that creates tension, that creates hate in people's heart. And one of those main things, of course, those things that he says also, you know, adds to that. And that's what exposes and actually what lets people understand that's why God hates, is you become an opponent of who he is.
Yeah. And I was just thinking, like, even shedding of innocent blood.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, far as I can tell, I've never shed innocent blood, like, physically. But you know what? I have been very angry at my brother in my heart.
Right.
And Jesus gave a strong warning that to be angry in your heart is still murder. Wow. And I've probably been angry at my brethren probably whenever they were innocent. Because I don't know about, I mean, I may be the only one listening or talking this morning that's ever done this, but I hear things that people's not saying.
Right.
And I get mad at them for it. Even though they're not saying it, here I am mad at them for something they said that they didn't even mean to say. It's not even what they meant to say. But here I am then starting to harbor anger in my heart, and I got to get it out.
Right.
And so I'm like, okay, well, I'm maybe not shedding physical blood in the natural. But I'm at that point, and I want us to get in that point in the church. And this is, I've been on it. I mean, I feel like me and Miss Karen's on this a lot lately. Righteousness. Like, I am just, that word continues to just pound in my heart, pound in my spirit, call forth righteousness in our own life.
Right.
But let light righteousness rise. When, you know, Brother Tim used that scripture the other night at Pleasant View during that, when the righteous are in charge, the people rejoice, the people prosper, the people are happy. And, you know, even in the local bodies of church, because how many times do we have unrighteous people in charge?
Right. Amen.
But also in our own lives, like, righteousness.
Yeah.
Like, we should love righteousness. We should hate wickedness and love righteousness. And so I just, that's really where I've been at in my own heart. So I'm not because, like, when people hear preachers start talking about this, like, well, they must be in sin. No, it's like,
no,
not at all. It's like, I want to be as much like him as I can possibly be like him.
Right.
And you know what I need for that? The power.
Yeah. And you was talking about a while ago, rejection, or you said the word rejection with Lisa, Sister Lisa, texting also Ashbaugh. She texted me a little thing, talked about how the form refers to an outward appearance of being religious or spiritual. This includes attending churches, religious language, following moral traditions, but doing so superficially. Denying the power refers to rejecting the transformative power of the Holy Ghost to change a person's heart and life from the inside out.
Mm-hmm.
It represents a faith that is all talk and no real life change.
Amen.
So I thought that's pretty good. That's why I wanted to read it.
Well, Pastor Josh is heading over to chapel. Yeah. Can I pray for you before you leave?
You sure can. I'd love for you to.
Yeah, Father, we just bless Brother Josh. We ask that the words of the Lord, your words of his mouth would be your words, God, that he will move in an anointing for our kids to know you and to know the power of your resurrection, God, that they would know the power of the cross and that they would grow and be strengthened and they would say no to wickedness and yes to righteousness, that they would hear things that are not maybe for some seed and some of it's water, but God, that you would give the increase. And we just bless him right now in the name of Jesus. Amen.
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 Good to be back with you today. So hopefully everybody's blessed by it. Y'all have an amazing day.
Amen. Well, we are going to read our trivia question for the morning. What makes a man able to bridle the whole body? What makes a man able to bridle the whole body? 270-257-2689. We'll be right back here after the break. All right, we are back here on this May 20th, 2026. Thank you for tuning in to Mornings of Box 2 Radio. I gave you a couple songs on that break. I just felt like with the rain and with all the dreariness of the morning, dreariness of the, whatever that word is, you just needed a little extra song this morning. Amen. The Lord is so faithful. The Lord is so good. For those who were elected last night, we're praying for you as you are going to be coming upon your new term. And may God bless you, and may he give you wisdom and guidance, and may righteousness be in high places. Amen. We do have an answer for that trivia question. We do have one. It was Brother Tom. He's in there two times this week, so I will let it count for a streak if it needs to, but I'm going to hold off on answering that question unless so that somebody doesn't have, whose name's not in twice, they may want to give that answer again. That is, what makes a man able to bridle the whole body? What part of your body need to bridle your whole body? I won't be able to answer till the next break, and we're going to have Pastor Dwayne Kidd calling somewhere around 8:30, 8:35, somewhere in there. He's going to call in and chat with us for a little while too. And let me just say what an honor it is to be a part of the Box 2 Radio Network and be a part of your guys' morning. We're praying for you and believing God for his blessing, but also believing God for, as Pastor Josh was saying, the dudamos, so that we may be witnesses wherever we're at, wherever we're doing today. May we be witnesses of the kingdom of our great Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A couple questions. Is Genesis 1:28 a blessing or curse? Is Genesis 1:28 a blessing or a curse? Genesis 1:28, I'm going to go over there. Let me get over there and read that. I apologize. Went to my phone, pulled up the wrong app here. Genesis chapter... Sometimes I love technology. I don't have enough. I would like to have a real Bible with me, but if you've seen my setup to where I have to host and produce, and so I've got computers and soundboards all around me in the room that I'm in, so there's actually no room for a book to even be on there. So, and God blessed them, and God said upon them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the face of the earth." So that command, I'm sure, command is the question comes back to, is it a command or is it a curse? Is it a blessing or a curse to have to be fruitful and multiply? Well, I don't think it's a curse. Honestly, I don't. I mean, I don't know. And God blessed them because he said he blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. So I think maybe the question was copied down wrong. I think the question probably should have been, is it a blessing or a commandment? And so God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. There is a blessing because that's what God said in the blessing. And so, but I do think there's a commandment too. So I think it's both. I think that we have to not always see the term commandment as legalistic or a work. We can see the word commandment as a blessing. As David says, that it is a joy, it is an honor. To follow his commandments is not burdensome, but it's a joy. And here we think of it because we always think in the terms of religiosity. And we're always thinking of legalism or a works-oriented kind of thing. But to follow the word of God is not burdensome. It is joyful. So here, God has blessed them. He's blessed us to be able to bear children. He's blessed us to be fruitful and multiply there. He's blessed us to have dominion. That is a blessing, but it's also a commandment. I don't think it being a commandment voids it from being a blessing, and I think it being a blessing does not void it from being a commandment. He's blessed us. He's blessed us, but he's also commanded us. So I think in our lives, we can see areas of it to where it's dualistic. There's a blessing can be a commandment, but a commandment can also be a blessing. And so I think the question maybe have been written down wrong, but that's what I'm going to go at. Definitely not a curse because it's a blessing, but I want to remind us that every time we hear the word commandment, it does not mean that, well, we don't have to do that. Jesus died on the cross. Like, we're not doing that for our righteousness. And it's like we've said to young people a lot, I'm not working to be saved. I am working because I am saved. I want to be more like him. I want to follow the word. Because when we live in his word, we will have a blessed life. When we follow his commandment, blessings do abound. It's the law of reciprocity. What we sow is what we reap. When we sow into righteousness, we'll reap from righteousness. When we sow into grace, we will reap from grace. When we sow into hostility, don't be surprised when we reap hostility. When we sow into anger, don't be surprised when anger has her harvest. We sow and we reap. So when we sow into the things of God, we're going to reap from the things of God. So curses will come from disobedience. There will be consequences. That doesn't always mean that we end up in hell. That means that we may end up in Hades here on the earth, in the sense of there's consequences. Jesus forgiving of our sin doesn't mean we always get, get out of jail free card. Like, everything's going to be great now. No, like, there may still be consequence earthly to our sin, and especially ongoing sin. Like, I'm a person, and I've answered it before. I believe our past, future, and present sins are under the blood. But that does not mean that we get to live however we want, because that kind of ideology is birthed from the mindset that God redeems the spirit, but not the man. And that's something that the Apostle John was battling all the way back into 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. And I think what we got to realize is he's redeeming the whole person. He's redeeming our mind. He's redeeming our tongue. He's redeeming our hands. He's going to redeem our time. He's going to redeem our heart. He's going to redeem all facets of us. The whole man is being redeemed. And that's a blessing. It's not a curse. And so when we live and are called to live righteously, it is not like, oh, that's just a legalistic religious person. They're just making us follow the rules. It's not about following the rules. It's about tapping into how we are called to live in the most God-honoring, God-exalting way. And who better to know how we should live than the one who's created us? Who better to tell us how to live with the most blessing and the most prosperous life than the one who set the earth in motion and is involved in our everyday life? Stop seeing commandments as burdensome and start seeing them as a blessing that it is to walk. Now, I'm not talking about fulfilling every ordinance of the Talmud or any Talmud or Talud or Talid. Talmud, oh my gosh, I am slipping up this morning. I'm not talking about following every ordinance. I apologize for that. I am talking about following the word of the Lord. See the word of God. I'm not talking about if you eat this or that. We can get carried away in anything. I'm not talking about going back to the legalism or going back to the law. What I am talking about is fulfilling what God has commissioned and called us to walk in. And so just it's the New Testament, the epistles are flooded with it. We can look at the Old Testament, we can look at their sin, and we can necessarily look at the rebellion and what God has, I mean, what they did in rejection to the Lord. I want to walk in blessing. Go back to Exodus and read the blessings and the curses. Greg said, who was God talking to when he created them male and female and told them to subdue the earth? Maybe we can handle that one tomorrow with you, Greg. Maybe we can expound a little bit more on that question tomorrow so that I'm completely understanding it right. So we'll docket that till tomorrow morning when you're on with us, Brother Greg, and expound a little bit more on that. But just for this verse in 128, I think it is a blessing, and I think it is a commandment, and it unlocks the great conversation of stop trying to make them enemies. Like, if it's a commandment, it can't be a blessing. No, they're there because following his commandment, if we love him, we'll follow his commandments. If we love him, we'll follow his word. They bring great joy. They bring great blessing in our life. They are not enemies. They are the same. It is a blessing to follow. It is a blessing to obey his voice. It's a blessing to obey his word. Christ's death does not exempt us from obedience. Christ's death does not exempt us from it. It saves. His blood washes us white as snow. I'm not taking a lick of thing. His death empowers us to walk in obedience. His death, his burial, his resurrection gives me the same spirit that raised him from the dead is now living in me. And for the first time, because of his empowerment, because of his dunamis, because of his equipping, because of the helper, I can walk in obedience to the word of God. His death, burial, and resurrection does not make us or give us the license to sin. It is the very empowerment for us to overcome sin. Why? Because he has conquered all power of the enemy. He has conquered all power of the enemy. The enemy is under his feet. And when we are in Christ, sin's dominion has been broken off of our life, and we are no longer alive to sin, but we are alive to Christ. Sin and the domain and the power of sin has been broken, demolished, and destroyed. And through the death, burial, resurrection, through the consecration and the washing of the blood of the Lamb, and only by that can we walk in the fullness of all that God has for us. Only in that can we have righteousness that exceeds the Pharisee. Not because it's mine, not because it's something I can do. It's because Christ has died, risen, and ascended to the right hand of the Father, forever making intercession for us. He's fighting for me. He's praying for me. He's interceding for me. And he said, I've not left you as orphans. I've not left you alone. You know what I've done? He said, I've left you a helper. I'm going to send my spirit. I'm going to send the same spirit that raised from the dead. I'm going to put that same spirit in you. And that spirit's going to give you dunamis to walk over all serpents, to walk and tread over all things on the earth. He's going to give us power, dunamis, over the enemy. You know what that means? He's given us power over sin. It is not burdensome. It is not legalism to fulfill and walk in obedience to the word of God. It is the very reason that he's given us the helper, so we may fulfill the words, may fulfill the mission. We may become witnesses in him and all the earth. Stop, by the grace of God, trying to separate blessing and commandment and saying commandments are legalism. I'm not going to give you one of those works. I've not said a thing about being saved. I'm saying a thing about walking in the blessings of the Lord here on the earth. Don't think you can walk contrary to the word of God and walk in the blessings of the Lord. Can I backslide without losing my salvation? Can I backslide without losing my salvation? Yes. Now, I want to clarify. I am a conservative perseverance of the saints because I like to adapt a little bit. I think we can have assurance in our salvation without a He loves me. He loves me not kind of thing. We're not, I don't think we get saved 1500 times in our life. I don't think we get saved here. And I don't think we get saved over there. I don't think we have to get re-saved here. I think when we're saved, we're saved. All right. I do believe in apostasy though. I do believe there is a time that we can apostate. We've talked on that a lot. We'll probably talk on it again. So I'm not going to expound on that much. But when we use the word backslide, I do not think backsliding necessarily means we've lost our salvation or we've become, as I would rather use the word, I don't like to use the word lost my salvation. I don't like that language necessarily. What I like to use more biblical, we've become an apostate. We've become a reprobate. We have apostatized. We have rejected and utterly rejected the gospel that we once upheld. Because I do want to uphold this. We are saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest man should boast. I do not get saved by works, and I'm not keeping my salvation by works. The obedience brings blessing in my life. Christ brings salvation. And so, in this, what I like to say about this is that, can I backslide without losing my salvation? I think you can backslide without losing, without apostatizing, just for the sole reason, if I'm not with him today, relationally, in my word, in my prayer closet, than I was yesterday, I have backslidden some. That does not mean I've fallen to great sin. That means I've just fallen back. My pursuit of him is not as aggressive. And the Bible is very clear. Those that seek him shall find him. But those that seek him diligently, it's what the Bible says. So maybe my seeking today is not what it was yesterday. Maybe I have been distracted by the things of this world. Maybe my job is starting to become too important, or my career path, or my 401k, like whatever, it could be so many different things. If I'm starting to put anything in front of him, that's idolatry. If I'm starting to fall back, maybe my prayer life has really slipped lately. Maybe my Bible hasn't opened up in a couple weeks. Maybe I've not sought him. Maybe I stopped going to church. You know what? You have that's backsliding. I'm not as close to him. I'm not walking with him. Doesn't necessarily mean I'm not a son and daughter of the Most High God. Does not mean that I've apostatized or I've left my faith. It just means I'm not where I was. So I want to say, yes, I think that you can backslide without apostatizing. We're going to go to break here. We do have an answer for that trivia question for somebody that does not have their name in twice this time. And I do love brother. I appreciate Brother Tom. He's really on it. He's always calling in to make sure the streak is staying alive. But Miss Nancy Lassley, come in here. She got it right. What makes a man able to bridle the whole body? They bridle their tongue. James 3:2. So if you want to bridle the whole body, you first got to bridle the tongue. Amen. Well, we're going to come back here. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to play a little song here. I love this song. Lion. I just really like that song, The Lion of the Tribe of Judah. Amen. We'll be right back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. All right. We are back here on this beautiful day in the neighborhood. We got on the phone with us, I do believe, Pastor Dwayne Kidd. How are you doing, Pastor Dwayne?
I'm blessed. And yourself?
Oh, we are doing well this morning. Thank you so much for calling in and being a part of the radio station. Everybody, I think just about as much as any other program, people talk about your program and your preaching. So I appreciate you being a part of the Box 2 Radio Network, Brother Dwayne.
Well, I'm honored. But that don't mean it's always good that they're talking.
Well, I didn't say they say good things. I just said they talk.
Right. Okay.
No,
maybe start getting a petition to get me off the air. I don't know.
Well, that did come across the email once, but I shut it down pretty quick.
Okay. Well, good.
Amen. So, what's the word of the Lord on your heart for this season? Where's the Lord had you at? Have you at in just teaching and preaching and just really driving in the Word of God?
Uh, going back to the simplicity of the gospel. And don't complicate things and walk in peace. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And he that serveth Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved of men. So right there. Mm-hmm. Righteousness, joy, and peace.
Amen. So, if somebody was to say, Pastor Dwayne, how do I simplify the gospel in my life? How do I get back to, remember that old song, Back to the Basics, I think is what it's called? Yeah. You remember that song? I love that song.
I do.
Yeah. What would you tell them? What, like they're looking at you and just say, hey, I'm just not doing well right now. What would you speak to them?
Well, we got to get rid of the fluff. We got to get rid of our pedestals that we've put ourselves on, the pedestals we put other people on, and put Jesus back in his proper place, high and lifted up. And it's his righteousness, not ours. We have done works of righteousness, and we should be doing works of righteousness, but it's his imputed righteousness, not by works, lest any man should boast. It's by his goodness and mercy and grace that we're not even consumed this day. And so the simplicity is just saying, hey, Jesus came for you. He loved you and he gave himself. You know, I had a wedding to do Saturday. It was the biggest, fanciest wedding I've ever been to in my life. And I can't deny that there wasn't a little bit of pressure, you know, and we... Or me, I can't say we, I don't speak for myself. You know, we get into things that make us comfortable. For an example, you know, I have a, you know, outline for a wedding, and mine is kind of lengthy. I kind of do a little post-wedding counsel before, you know, during the ceremony. I do some counseling actually then, and just going right into the vows and moving on. And, so, you know, I either use my iPad or I'll actually print it and, you know, whatever the couple prefers. But I like to have a stand, a podium to lay my stuff on. And once again, this was a very, very nice venue. And when I asked the lady of the venue, I said, do y'all have a podium? And she's like, no. And I'm thinking to myself, well, what kind of place is this that don't have a podium? You know, that was me thinking. And so then I asked the bride, would you mind if I just brought like a simple music stand? And at first it was okay. And then I'm just assuming here, that they got kind of concerned, you know, it may take away from the picture. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, we'd probably rather you not. And I'm like, okay, I'll get through this. And then when I show up the next, this was during rehearsal. So then the next day at the wedding, I can do this. I can hold the iPad but I found myself reading, you know, looking down too much and not looking at them. I told my wife and her, I said, you know what? I'm going to use of the script is the traditional wedding vow, which most people, even if you've never performed a ceremony, you've heard them enough, you can almost just word those out of memory. And I said, I've depended on this script. I've depended on what I can read. I'm going to let the Holy Ghost minister, and whatever comes out, that's what God has for this couple, and who knows, even the hearers. And then when I get there, they said, oh, and here's a microphone, which I am a microphone person. That's my pacifier. I like to have a mic in my hand, but I don't like to have a mic in my hand and an iPad in another trying to hold both. And I was like, God, you are going to have to help me. And so, you know, that right there, the little things that we have become dependent upon, we have to learn to adapt, because I really believe, you know, the gospel needs to be taken out. And I may be wrong, and somebody may call and say, well, he don't know what he's talking about, but I don't believe that no church is busting at the seams. Any church growth that we see, by and large, is disgruntled members leaving one church going to another, or another church is closed down and they're all looking for a new camp to get in. And I'm not saying that there's not true church growth, but I am saying this, we've got to get away from what we think. And that's what God spoke to me a few months ago. Everything, and it's just me, everything I thought I knew about church, he is fixing to unravel. And I have been seeing that. And crazy as this may sound, the first thing, and I thought, man, this will go over like a ton of bricks. This is going to cause me problems. Everybody's going to have something to say, and no, it's not going to be good. But I rearranged the setting in the church. Instead of just, you know, everybody facing, you know, of course we had pews, and then we took got rid of the pews and got chairs, and we did that so we could have our sanctuary for more versatile for different things. But anyway, so still tradition, everybody, you know, all the chairs in a row facing the front. And two, I didn't want to come down off that stage. You know, I like being in, you know, being short of stature, which I am. You know, I like that kind of height advantage to be able to minister. And the Lord said, you come down off that stage, you set this pulpit on the floor, and then you set these chairs, and you have the people surrounding you. And I have never liked people behind me when I ministered. That was just something I didn't like. But see, once again, this is God pulling the strings out of the hymn that I thought I had to have to minister. And those hymns was getting in the way. It was coming me performance, what I can do. And so I set these chairs up just knowing that I was going to get a lot of backlash, a lot of negativity, and out of all the people, I've had one to say they didn't like it, but they're still coming and they're still being blessed. So, you know, it's being sensitive to the Spirit of God and just doing what He says. If it doesn't seem right, if it don't look right in our carnal thinking, do it anyway, because God knows what He's doing. And so I kept asking, I said, God, why are we doing this setting? I'm not saying every church needs to change their seating. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying you asked the question, and I'm saying what it looks like is, you know, just once again, going back to Him and letting Him lead. And, you know, I said, Lord, so why? What's the deal with this seat? It doesn't – anybody that comes in, they're going to – and I'm talking if a visitor comes in or visiting minister comes in, this is going to be very uncomfortable for them because this is not typical. And the Lord just simply said, look, when you go to a concert, everybody sits in the chairs and they look towards the stage. When you go to a movie theater, everybody sits in their seats facing the screen. And it's put you the center of attention when I should be the center of attention. And when you go to somebody's home, when you go, if you have a meal with them, everybody sits around the table. You go into the living room, their den. The sitting is where they can sit and face one another and be relational one to another. And so that's some of the things that God just been doing with me that doesn't feel comfortable at the moment. But I'm trusting God to produce the outcome that He sees that I don't.
Well, you still got me in the hook. How did the wedding go? Did you mess up?
I did not. And you know, and I just let it flow, and several people, and not in the wedding party, they told me they was really blessed, and you know, and I believe God really ministered to people, just not the couple being married. I believe He ministered to the hearers, because. You know, I made God a vow many, many years ago that if you get me in front of people and you give me a platform, I am going to bring up Jesus. I'm going to bring up the gospel. And even at a wedding, I preach the gospel. And then, of course, you know, I said, this is the biggest, fanciest wedding I've ever been to, so I don't know the correct form. And so that the reception... most reception I've ever been to is a little cake and some light refreshments, and you move on, which is great. I mean, I'm not taking away from that. but this was a full course meal and catered, and the DJ asked me, said, would you give the blessing? And I'm like, of course. And when once again I got back, I had a platform again, and there were some things at this reception that I'm totally against, and I make no bones about that. But, you know, the Bible says everything that hath breath is to praise the Lord. And that may be even people doing things that you don't agree with. Maybe things that even the Bible is against because they still have breath. Everything that hath breath, praise the Lord. And so, once again, I know the day should be focused. We think this day should be focused on the bride and the groom, and especially the bride. And that's true. I'm not taking away from that. But really, our focus every moment should be on King Jesus. And I think I can't just come here and bless this food and hand the mic back. I've got to let you be the centerpiece. Mm-hmm. And I told the hearers, I said, the Bible says everything that has breath is to praise the Lord. And I said, I encourage us right now, let's just join together and praise the Lord. And throughout that whole venue, there was people clapping their hands. And, you know, were they doing it because everybody else was? I don't know. But I know that Jesus was honored in that moment. And that's what we got to do. We just got to honor him. Mm-hmm. No matter if it looks right to anybody else, if it don't even look right to us, we should honor him. And at the end of the day, that's because he's what we've got. He is our redemption. He is the bishop of our souls. He is the reason we live and move and have our being. And he said, without him, we can do nothing. And so why would we ever defer or deflect from him? Especially in ministry. And I'm afraid that's what we have done. We have learned to do ministry through the flesh. And I know I have. I've been guilty at times of ministering in the flesh. And it produces flesh. God's not mocked. If you sow to the flesh, you will of the flesh reap corruption. But glory to God. If you sow of the Spirit, you will reap life everlasting.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
amen.
Yeah, so the wedding went well, and they're married, and give God glory. And it was one of those very unique things. It was I had married this gentleman's father to his wife several years ago, and I thought this is the first time I have done a generational wedding, and that's good, but that also means I'm getting old. And so, but praise God. Thank God for being able to do those things.
Well, yours went better than mine. I did a really fancy wedding one time, and everything was going really good until I said, so-and-so, do you take so-and-so? And I was talking to the groom, and I said, do you take so-and-so to be your husband? And I said, ooh, that's not right. And everybody in the whole party laughed.
I have to confess, every time in that portion, I often wonder, did I mess that up? Because, you know, that could go south real quick.
It went south real quick for me.
But, isn't that amazing, though, that, you know, how we can be flowing in the Spirit, but still our flesh and our carnal mind is always just speaking doubt into us, but yet the Spirit rises to the occasion.
Yeah. And, you know, I want to go back a little bit. We got about 7 or 8 more minutes here. You're talking about this. Yeah, it does, don't it? You're talking about the simplicity. I think what we confuse sometimes is when we say simplicity, we should never study or we should never do. I know that's not you. I know you're a big word guy and you're going to tell people. The gut feeling of in the spirit, so many people saying the simplicity is like, stop trying to overcomplicate obedience. Like, you know, when he says, don't be angry at your neighbor, he means, hey, don't be angry at your neighbor. And he's going to give you grace to do it. When he says, do this, it's not a, well, he did say this, but in the first century, there was this, and there was that cultural thing that's not like our cultural thing. So surely he would empathize in our culture that we can do this and that, you know, we can make this so complex. Like, no, I'm just not supposed to be mad at my brother. And I think sometimes we're just overcomplicating obedience because we want to get out of it.
Exactly. Well, to say something like that, you know, their culture versus our culture, well, obviously it's different. I mean, come on. But that would be to say God didn't know what our culture would be like today. I mean, the word is forever settled in heaven. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will abide forever. And so if it says that, that's what it means. And so let's don't try to Greek it away, Hebrew it away, and just grasp it and walk in faith. And when we struggle, we go back to the altar and we work it out but with us and the word of God and the spirit of God. And God gives us the grace to walk it out until we are walking fully in the spirit. Because, you know, I haven't arrived. I definitely, not to toot my own horn, but I definitely know that I'm walking more than I have in, you know, in 10 years ago or 5 years ago, you know. So it is a progression. We know we're being sanctified. And, you know, I've, to me, and this probably won't go well at all at this point, but, you know, I've often struggled with the fact that sanctification is an instant work. If it is, then I missed it, because it's not been instant in my life, but it has been progressive. And I thank God for that. I thank God there's definitely a difference in my life now than there was even last year. And so I think that sanctification is something that we don't talk about, and it is mentioned, but most people don't even know what it is. I went to church for years, and I'd hear people say, I'm saved, sanctified, and full of the Holy Ghost, and I didn't have a clue what they were talking about. I didn't understand the salvation part, but I didn't know what sanctification meant. So, you know, and that's, once again, that goes back to simplicity. We can say all kinds of churchy phrases, but to somebody that don't know, you're speaking a foreign language to them. And we just, because we know, doesn't mean that everybody knows.
Yeah. And he, I coach Little League for my son team. And I have this kid on my team. He wants to hit the ball so bad. Like, you know, he's one of those kids. He's on the shorter side, but he's like, I want to hit the ball. Like, I'm going to hit this ball. And he's so aggressive that he'll swing 3 feet over his head. And I'm just like, I watch this kid, and all season long, I'm like, hey, every time he goes to the bat, I'm like, hey, I know you want to hit the ball, but I need you to swing at good pitches. I know you want to hit the ball, but I need you to swing at good pitches. Do not. And you know what? Every time he goes to the bat now, he still swings over his head. And I'm thinking, man, that's probably the Lord with me sometimes in my sanctification. It's like, hey, I know you really want to hit this ball, but don't swing over your head. And then what do?
Yeah.
Swing over my head.
Amen.
He teaches us a lot. But I love this little kid because he'll keep going to bat.
But here's the thing. He's still on the team.
And he's still swinging.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's not where he walked away and said, well, I can't do this. You know, maybe I should go try another sport or just not do anything. And that's what we got to do. We got to get back up, get in the batter's box, and keep working till we make contact and knock it out of the park for the glory of God.
Mm-hmm. Well, 3 or 4 minutes here. What would you like to say on the way out, Pastor Dwayne?
Well, I mean, you must be born again. And, you know, once again, we don't know who's listening. I don't know, obviously. And you don't know. I mean, maybe there's somebody right now that needs Jesus. And, you know, and don't have the time to cover this, but, and I don't even know if you're aware, but just a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago, I was down to Samuel Stovall Park. It's a little park down by a river at Mufferville, and while I was there, a man jumped off the bridge. Honestly, we can't reach everybody, but we can't sit around idle in our fancy buildings and not get to people. Jesus went to people. Jesus loved people, and Jesus had compassion. And he just didn't say, well, you need to pray and study the Bible more. He got involved in their lives, even in their mess. And he walked with them, but he walked them out of it. Though I walked through the valley of the shadow of death. He didn't let them stay there. And we got to keep walking until we come into those green pastures. And sometimes we got to be the shepherd that helps them walk out and lead them to the good shepherd. And so if you're struggling today, I'm telling you, Jesus can make a way. And Jesus is that way. And he will do things in your life that you would never, ever would have dreamed that God could do. And I'm not talking about the things that people might think, the prosperity side. And I don't walk away from the prosperity. I read the scripture. It's there. Whether people want to like it or not, the prosperity of God is in the scripture. You can't read the Bible and say, God don't cause us to prosper. But times you have to struggle even in the prosperity. And he's the same Jesus. As the old song goes, he's the God in the valley and the God on the mountain. And so, just stay faithful. The easiest thing in the world to do is quit. And God is looking. He asked this, when I come, will I find faith?
Yeah.
And that God is still looking for faith. It's what it takes to please him. Without faith, we can't please him. So that's what I've got. That's all I have.
Well, pray for us. Pray for us, Pastor DeWayne.
God in heaven, we thank you so much for your goodness and mercy. We thank you, Lord God, for those that have heard this morning. Lord, I pray for the one that is struggling. Lord, I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that you will just begin to minister to their spirit man. Father, you'll cause them to rise up, Lord God. Lord, you'll reach down and pull them out of the miry pit of depression and anxiety and fear and just rebellion, God, and set them on the solid rock. And we know that rock is you. Lord, we're believing you for great things because you're a great God. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Brother DeWayne, so much for calling in. Bless you, and always thanks for being a part of the Vox Student Radio Network.
Thanks for the invite. God bless.
God bless. All right. Well, great morning. It was so good to have Pastor Josh back on with us for early this morning, and I know that I'm sure that chapel went incredible, and just enjoyed that conversation with Pastor DeWayne. That let's not overcomplicate it and make talk ourselves out of obedience to the Word of God. It is not our righteousness that gets us into heaven. It's not our right. It's His imputed righteousness, as we talked about earlier. And this call to righteousness is not called just to do better or try harder. It's a call to walk in the fullness of what God has for you. It's a call to walk in the fullness of the obedience of the Word of God. That's impossible outside of Christ, though. His Spirit. He said, I know that I'm going to leave you a lot of stuff to do, and I'm going to leave you a helper to get it done in Jesus' name. Good stuff. Amen. We love you. We bless you. If the creek don't rise, sun still shine, and Jesus has not returned. We'll be back tomorrow, Lord willing, here at 7 o'clock a.m. here on Mornings of Vox 2 Radio on the Vox 2 Radio Network. He's given you power to become witnesses. So go be a witness. Go testify of His goodness. Reach the unreachable. Love the unlovable. Go find the hurting and the broken. For He mends the brokenhearted. In Jesus' name, be blessed.